Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
Bob, I want to read you some comments from the Singularity subreddit.
This is going to hurt.
Quote, dystopian nightmare. Quote, why would anyone let Sam Altman scan their eyeballs? Quote, this is literally Black Mirror. Quote, hard pass on the biometric surveillance state. These are people who self-identify as technologists, people who spend their days discussing artificial superintelligence, brain-computer interfaces, and molecular nanotechnology. And the moment someone deploys quantum-secure, multi-party computation with information-theoretic privacy guarantees, they shut off their brains and say, you, eyeball scat.
To be fair, the optics are terrible. Pun intended.
The optics are terrible. A chrome sphere that looks like it was designed by the villain in a Bond film, backed by the CEO of the company most responsible for creating the AI problem in the first place, initially rolled out by paying poor people in developing countries to hand over their biometrics. I get why people hate it, but here's what drives me insane. The Singularity subreddit used to be different. It used to be a place where people were genuinely curious about the future. Excited about it. People who would see a novel cryptographic protocol and want to understand how it worked. People who read papers. People who ask questions before forming opinions. Now it's a reflex machine. Someone posts a headline, and within minutes you've got 200 comments from people who've read nothing but the title, competing to see who can sound the most alarmed. It's not critical thinking, it's pattern matching. Biometrics equals bad. Full stop, end of analysis, move on to the next thread.
You're saying the subreddit lost its intellectual curiosity.
I'm saying a community that was founded on the premise of understanding transformative technology is now reflexively afraid of it, and not one of them, not one, has bothered to look at the actual cryptographic architecture. They stopped reading in 2023, and they've been running on vibes ever since.
So what's actually under the hood?
Before we get there, I want to sit with the disgust for a second, because it's revealing every person in those comments has a phone in their pocket. That phone has Face ID or a fingerprint reader. Every time they unlock it, every single time. Their biometric data is captured, processed, and matched against a template stored on a chip made by Apple or Google, a corporation, a closed-source, proprietary, unauditable system controlled by one of the largest companies on Earth. Nobody blinks. Nobody posts dystopian nightmare in the comments. They do it 50 times a day without thinking.
Because they're used to it.
Because they're used to it. Now, World ID scans your iris once. One time, at an orb, the image is processed locally on the device, converted to a mathematical code, and the image is deleted. The code is sharded into encrypted fragments distributed across independent universities and research institutions. Your phone then holds a credential, not biometric data, that lets you generate zero-knowledge proofs of your humanity. No biometric leaves your control after that single scan. No corporation holds your data. No server has your iris. And this, is the thing that disgusts people while they hand Apple their face 50 times a day.
The familiarity gap.
The familiarity gap. A chrome sphere in a public place feels alien and threatening. A rectangle in your pocket feels normal, but the rectangle is doing something far more invasive. It's capturing your biometric on every unlock and trusting a single corporation to handle it. World ID captures it once under a protocol where no single entity ever possesses the complete data and you never have to provide it again. The math is not even in the same category, and yet the emotional response is inverted.
So people's threat model is based on aesthetics, not architecture.
Aesthetics and familiarity, not cryptography, not threat analysis, not math. And that's what we're going to fix today, because unlike the Reddit commenters, I actually read the papers. Chapter 1, The Problem That Won't Go Away. Here's the setup. You need to prove online that you're a real human being, not which human being. Just that you are one, and that you haven't already proven it under a different account. This is called a proof of personhood problem, and Vitalik Buterin wrote an extensive analysis of it in July 2023. His conclusion was blunt. It's unsolved. At global scale, we have no good way to do it.
Captchas don't count?
Captchas are dead. Large language models solve them faster than humans. Phone verification doesn't work because phone numbers are trivially purchasable in bulk. Government ID verification works, but requires you to hand over your actual identity to every service that asks. And it excludes over a billion people worldwide who don't have government documents.
And this matters because?
Because without proof of personhood, every online vote is a Sybil attack waiting to happen. Every airdrop, every social media platform, every democratic process can be trivially gamed by anyone who can spin up bots. And that problem gets exponentially worse as AI gets better at impersonating humans. Buterin's warning was specific. If we don't solve this, the alternatives are worse, centralized identity providers, government surveillance infrastructure, or we just give up and let bots win.
So, the problem is real. What's the proposed solution?
Chapter 2, The Iris Code. Let's start with the biometric itself, the human iris, the colored ring around your pupil. Has a texture pattern that is unique to every individual. More unique than fingerprints, the left and right eyes of the same person have different patterns. Even identical twins have different iris textures. This isn't marketing. It's been established science since John Daugman's work at Cambridge in the 1990s.
Daugman is the godfather of iris recognition.
He is, and his method is elegant. You take a high-resolution image of the iris, unwrap the circular texture into a rectangular strip using polar coordinates, apply a set of two-dimensional Gabor wavelets, essentially band-pass filters that respond to texture at different scales and orientations, and encode the phase response of each filter as a binary value 0 or 1. The result is a 12,800-bit binary string called an iris code.
So your entire iris gets reduced to a series of zeros and ones.
Exactly. And this is the first critical point that people miss. The iris code is not your iris image. It's a lossy mathematical abstraction. You cannot reconstruct the original iris image from the code. The transformation is one way. It's like a hash. Except instead of arbitrary data, it's hashing biological text.
How do you compare two iris codes?
Hamming distance. You XOR the two binary strings and count the differing bits. Two iris codes from the same eye will have a Hamming distance of roughly 0.3. About 30% disagreement due to noise, pupil dilation, camera angle. Two iris codes from different people will have a Hamming distance near 0.5. Essentially random. The separation between these two distributions is enormous. False match rates are on the order of 1 in 2 million at standard thresholds.
That's the uniqueness check. But uniqueness alone isn't the hard part, is it?
No. The hard part is doing the uniqueness check without anyone, including the system itself. Learning which iris code belongs to which person, that's where the cryptography comes in. Chapter 3. Three Generations of Privacy. World ID's privacy architecture has gone through three distinct generations. And this is where the public discourse is stuck in 2023, while the technology is in 2026. Let me walk through all three.
Generation 1, the bad one.
Generation 1. Launch, July 2023, centralized iris code database. The orb scans your iris, generates the code, and uploads it to a server controlled by Tools for Humanity. Every new scan gets compared against the full database. Standard biometric matching, encrypted in transit and at rest, but fundamentally centralized. One entity holds all the codes.
And if that entity gets compromised?
You lose everything. Every iris code. And even though you can't reconstruct the iris from the code, Vitalik Buterin pointed out that iris codes can still leak metadata. Potentially gender, certain health conditions. A centralized database of iris codes is a honeypot. The critics were right to be concerned about this. Completely right.
So, what changed?
March 2024, Generation 2. Secure Multi-Party Computation, or SMPC. And this is where the mathematics gets beautiful. Chapter 4. Shamir's Secret. The foundation of everything that follows is a result from 1979 by Adi Shamir. One of the three people in the RSA of RSA encryption. Shamir's secret sharing. The idea is this. You have a secret. Say, a number. You want to split it into multiple pieces called shares. Each share individually looks completely random, reveals nothing, but combine all the shares together and you can reconstruct the original secret.
Like a combination lock where each person only knows one number.
Exactly. And here's the critical property. This isn't computational security, it's information theoretic security, even with unlimited computing power. Even with a quantum computer. A single share reveals absolutely nothing about the secret. The security doesn't depend on any assumption about hard math problems. It's unconditional, perfect secrecy.
That's a strong claim.
It's a proven theorem. Shannon's notion of perfect secrecy applied to secret sharing. No cryptographic scheme that depends on factoring large numbers or computing discrete logarithms can make that claim because a sufficiently powerful computer could break those. Shamir's scheme is immune. There is no mathematical operation you can perform on a single share that extracts information about the secret period.
So they split the iris codes into shares.
They split every iris code into multiple shares and distribute them across independent parties. In May 2024, they deleted the original centralized database. Gone. What remains are fragments held by separate organizations. Any single organization's fragment is random noise. Even a complete security breach of one party reveals nothing.
But you still need to compare new iris codes against existing ones. How do you do that if nobody has the complete codes?
That's the SMPC part, secure multi-party computation. The parties can jointly compute the Hamming distance between a new iris code and every existing one without ever recombining the shares. Without ever seeing the original codes, the computation happens on the encrypted fragments directly, thanks to the homomorphic property of the secret sharing scheme. The math just works. You compute on the shares, and the result of the computation is itself a share of the answer.
I need you to say that again more slowly.
Imagine three colleagues who want to know their average salary without any of them revealing their own. Each person splits their salary into random shares and distributes them. The parties compute the average of the shares they received due to the homomorphic property. The average of the shares equals a share of the average. Combine the results, and you get the true average. But nobody ever saw anyone else's salary. That's SMPC, applied to iris codes. You get a uniqueness check where the biometric data is never reassembled, ever. Chapter 5. Anonymous MPC. Generation 3 launched January 2025 AMPC. Anonymous Multi-Party Computation. This is the current system, and it goes further than SMPC in several important ways.
What changed?
Three things. First, the SMPC fragments themselves were deleted. The system now operates on anonymized fragments that have undergone additional cryptographic processing. Even the shares have been anonymized. Second, the previous system revealed Hamming distances in plain text during comparison. The actual numerical similarity score, AMPC, reveals only a binary result. Match or no match, yes or no, no distance, no partial information, nothing.
So even the people running the comparison can't see how close a near miss was.
Correct. And third, and this is crucial, neither the World Foundation nor Tools for Humanity operates any AMPC nodes. The compute is run by independent academic and research institutions, UC Berkeley's Center for Responsible Decentralized Intelligence, the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg in Germany, Nethermind, a blockchain engineering firm, CASED in South Korea, UTEC in Peru, five independent parties across multiple jurisdictions and continents.
So the company that built the system doesn't touch the biometric data.
Doesn't touch it, doesn't store it, doesn't process it. The protocol is open source. The AMPC code is on GitHub. It was audited by least authority. The Iris recognition pipeline is open source. The Orb hardware design is open source. The Core Orb software is open source. Every component that matters is publicly auditable.
What does it run on?
NVIDIA H100 GPUs. Each node is an AWS instance with 8 H100s. The system performs 50 million pairwise uniqueness comparisons per second. As of late 2025, nearly 20 million people have Orb-verified world IDs. The system scales. Chapter 6. Zero Knowledge. Everything we've discussed so far is about enrollment. Proving you're unique when you first sign up. But there's a second equally important piece. What happens when you use your world ID?
You prove you're human without revealing which human.
Exactly. This is done with zero-knowledge proofs. Specifically, ZK Snarks, built on the Semaphore protocol. When you present your world ID to a service, you generate a cryptographic proof that says, I hold a private key corresponding to one of the public keys in the verified set. The proof reveals nothing about which key. The verifier learns one fact. This is a unique, verified human. And zero other facts.
Can they link your activity across different services?
No. Each verification generates a unique proof. Two verifications at two different services produce two proofs that cannot be linked to each other or to your enrollment. Your actions are unlinkable. Even if someone re-scans your iris at an orb, they can't connect it to anything you've done with your world ID.
So the privacy architecture has three layers.
Three layers. Layer 1, the iris image never leaves the orb. Processed locally, deleted on device. Layer 2, the iris code is sharded into anonymous fragments via AMPC, distributed across independent parties. No entity holds a complete code. Layer 3, usage is protected by zero-knowledge proofs, so your identity is never revealed when you use the credential from enrollment to usage. There is no point where your complete biometric data exists in any single location. Chapter 7, the part they got wrong. Now, I've spent 6 chapters telling you why the math works, and the math does work, but the math isn't the whole story. And intellectual honesty requires we talk about the rollout.
Kenya,
and Indonesia, and Sudan, and Chile. In 2021 through 2023, Tools for Humanity sent orb operators, independent contractors paid commission per scan, into developing countries. MIT Technology Review published an investigation in April 2022. They interviewed 35 people across 6 countries. What they found was damning.
What kind of damning?
Operators described the iris scan as a social assistance giveaway. In an Indonesian village, a furniture maker was woken up by his mother and told a charity was distributing aid at the local elementary school. He had no idea what an iris scan was. Operators offered approximately $50 worth of crypto tokens per scan. In countries where that's a week's income, local government officials were on site passing out numbered tickets, AirPods were offered as incentives. The Kenyan Data Protection Authority specifically ruled that the crypto payment borders on inducement and doesn't constitute informed consent.
They were paying poor people for their biometric data.
They were paying poor people for their biometric data without meaningful informed consent. There's no way to spin that. The data consent form at the time included language about contactless Doppler radar detection of heartbeat, breathing, and other vital signs, which the company later said they never actually implemented, but left in the form anyway. During field testing, the orb was capturing full-resolution images of face, eyes, and body. Not just iris codes. To train their neural networks, while the public messaging emphasized privacy.
That's the opposite of what the cryptography is supposed to do.
That's exactly right, and this is the tragedy of it. The protocol-level privacy guarantees are real. The math is sound. But the company's early behavior in the field directly contradicted the values the protocol was designed to protect. The Kenyan government suspended operations in August 2023. Courts ordered all biometric data from Kenyan citizens deleted. Similar scrutiny came from the EU's Bavarian Data Protection Authority, from Indonesia, from multiple jurisdictions.
What did they do about it?
To their credit, they rebuilt the entire privacy architecture, the centralized database they should never have had in the first place. Deleted. The SMPC system was built directly in response to regulatory pressure and the Bavarian DPA's demand for better biometric template protection. AMPC went further, removing even tools for humanity from the compute chain. The open sourcing of hardware, software, and protocols was accelerated. The consent and onboarding process was redesigned.
So the company learned its lesson.
The company was forced to learn its lesson. Whether they would have done it voluntarily is an open question. But here's what matters for this episode. The protocol, as it exists today in 2026, is not the same system that exploited Kenyan villagers in 2023. The cryptographic guarantees are real. The open source audits are real. The independent operation is real. The question is whether the early sins permanently disqualify the technology, or whether the technology should be evaluated on its current merits. Chapter 8. Why it matters now. There's a reason this is urgent. We're approaching a point. Maybe we're already past it, where AI-generated text, voice, video, and behavior are indistinguishable from human-generated versions. Every authentication system that relies on behavioral signals is failing. Captures are solved by models. Voice verification is defeated by voice cloning. Video identity checks are defeated by deepfakes. The only remaining approach that can scale globally is biometric proof of personhood with strong cryptographic privacy.
And if we don't solve it?
Vitalik's warning, if proof of personhood fails, we get one of two outcomes. Either centralized identity providers, governments, and corporations become the gatekeepers of the internet, and anonymity dies, or we don't gate anything, bots overwhelm every open system, and online democracy becomes impossible. Quadratic voting, fair airdrops, Sybil-resistant governance, all of it depends on knowing that one person equals one vote. Without proof of personhood, one wealthy actor with a bot farm equals a million votes.
So the stakes are, solve this, or lose democratic governance online.
That's the stakes. And whether you like Sam Altman or Tools for Humanity or the crypto angle or any of the aesthetics around this project, the mathematical architecture they've built is the most sophisticated attempt anyone has made at solving this problem. 40 million users, 20 million orb verified, running on 5 continents, open source, audited, quantum secure. The math works.
And the company?
The company is a 16Z-backed, San Francisco-headquartered, and carries the baggage of every mistake it made in 2023. Tools for Humanity is a for-profit corporation, not a non-profit. That's a distinction worth making, clearly, but the protocol is governed by the World Foundation, which is a separate entity, and the AMPC compute is run by universities and research institutions, not by the company. The architecture is designed so that even if Tools for Humanity disappeared tomorrow, the protocol would survive.
That's the whole point of decentralization.
That's the whole point. The protocol should outlast the company. The math should outlast the discourse. And the problem it solved. proving that a human is a human in a world filling up with machine, isn't going away. It's going to become the most important unsolved problem in digital infrastructure. And right now, this is the best answer anyone has. From the labs. This has been DTF FTL.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Daily tech feed from the labs, tiny sparks turning into maps, archive pages in a gentle sway, tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.